appreciate the Lord's goodness to us today. I'd like to start off in looking in the Gospel of Luke, the 8th chapter. I'd like to start reading at verse 4. It says, "And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And his disciples asked him, saying, What might this parable be? And he said unto you, It is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not, might not hear, understand. Now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which when they have heard, go forth, and are choked with the cares and the riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience." It's a very amazing to me that the world's population fits into one of these categories. The billions of people that are in the world today will fit into one of these four categories. And we know the seed that fell among the wayside was hard. You can't plant a seed on hard ground and expect it to grow. And it says the devil comes and takes the word, takes the seed that was sown, and it doesn't bring forth anything in a person's life. They on the rock are they which when they hear, they receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation they fall away. Because they didn't have root. They didn't have the moisture that's down deep in the soil because there was a rock underneath. These verses are so powerful, they're so amazing because they help us to identify the conditions of our heart and our life. I think many people have tried to garden before, and I'm not an expert gardener, but I know this, that it takes lots of work. You can't have a good garden and not invest into it and work with it. The soil has to be broken up. It has to be tilled. You've got to remove the weeds. You've got to get things, the rocks that are in the way, things that are obstructing, have to be removed. We did at one point, we had a garden in Israel. I mean, not in Israel, I'm sorry. Oregon. We loaded horse manure. We pulled in horse manure. We pulled in horse manure. We put straw in there. Tilled it up. Next year, we put more horse manure on it. We worked it and worked it. And you could walk out there and it felt like I like to take my shoes off, but it was like walking on a sponge. You would sink on the soil. But that took a lot of work and a lot of effort. But it was ready for planting. It was ready for plants and growth and good things to come out of it. Now, I do remember one time I was on my hands and knees pulling weeds, of all things. Oh, that's one job that's not a very good job. But I took a handful of soil, and I remember the sun, it was a beautiful day, and I just looked at it. And there were so many seeds in that soil. It was amazing to me, the seeds that were in that soil that blew in, that were in there. And I thought, well, no wonder. No wonder I'm pulling weeds every other week. These things are, it's full of seed. But we're talking about the human heart this morning. That's the garden of the Lord. Is the human heart. And it says here that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart keep it, and they bring forth fruit with patience. An honest and good heart is a heart that recognizes its own failures and mistakes in life. It's not a heart that blames the circumstances, that blames other people, that goes through life and it's always someone else's fault. It's always out there. If they would have done like they should have done, I would have done what I was supposed to do. It's always out there somewhere. But an honest heart recognizes it was my responsibility. It's a heart that recognizes that they have a need. I remember Brother Galen in Sunday school brought out the man, the publican, said that he smote his breast. He wouldn't lift up his eyes, but he said, "Be merciful to me, God, a sinner." Jesus said, "This man went down to his house justified." An honest and good heart is just that. It's someone that sees and recognizes. And they come to a point in life where they quit blaming other people for their failure, for their mistakes. The seed represents the Word of God. It represents the gospel of Christ. And I believe the Lord today is, I mentioned the heart is the garden of God. I believe God works in life to break up our heart, to break up our ground. He causes things in life. Sometimes it's facing our own, the consequences of our own choices, the consequences of our own decisions. Sometimes He uses other things to help us to realize that we need His help in life. We don't do life very good doing it on our own, trying to do it by our own self, going by our own thoughts, living our own agenda. We don't do life very well that way. We need God to help us. I'm also thinking about how important water is in this process. I was reading about a seed this last week, and it takes basically 7 days for this seed to germinate and grow. And the water has to, the ground has to be kept moist during that 7 day period. You can't let it dry out. It needs to be moist for it to be able to germinate. And it has to have water to live. And I think about the value of water. Approximately 40 to 70% of our body is water. Our cells need water. We need water to live and to survive. And I wanted to read just a little bit. I looked up on my phone. In my older years, I've recognized more the importance of drinking water. You know, water is probably the most cheapest, healthiest thing that we can do for our bodies. It's water. And sad to say, some people don't like water. Or they don't. But water's good. Need to develop a taste for water if you don't like water. But I want to read us some things just here. Water is essential in every system and function of the body and has many responsibilities. For example, water is a building block of new cells. and the key nutrient every cell relies on for survival. Water metabolizes and transports proteins and carbohydrates from the food you eat to nourish your body. Water helps the body flush waste. Water helps maintain a healthy body temperature through sweat and respiration when the temperature rises. Water is a part of the shock absorber system in the spine. Water protects sensitive tissue. Water is part of the fluid that surrounds and protects the brain and a baby in the womb. Water is the main ingredient in saliva. Water helps keep your joints lubricated. Water is, it's been the last few years, but I've been trying to drink plenty of water. I drink a quart in the morning, usually before breakfast. Sometimes I'll put in a little apple cider vinegar in it. I try to drink a whole quart. I try to get in at least 3 quarts of water a day. But we need water. We need the nourishment and the life that it gives. Jesus mentioned too, he mentioned about the corn of wheat that falls into the ground. He says, if it dies, it brings forth fruit. But if it doesn't die, it abides alone. And water is what helps break down that outer shell of the seed. It softens that outer shell. And it enables it to be able to pull the nutrients out of the soil so that it can grow and that it can flourish. You know, people, we need water also, not just physically, like I mentioned, but also we need spiritual water of life that I can grow in my spirit and I can be. I mentioned earlier, after it puts down roots, you can gradually start backing off the water because it's getting moisture from deeper in the soil. Still has to have water. It never comes to the place where it can't have, where it don't get moisture and live. It can't survive without moisture at some point. But you don't have to water it every day like you did before germination. You can begin to back off the watering a little bit because it has developed. These thoughts have blessed me so much spiritually this week. People need water. People need the water of life. And I believe the Lord is doing, God, I've seen it in my own life. I've seen it in the lives of other people. What's the word riven mean? Somebody help me out. I didn't look it up, but there's a song we sing, it says, let the heart with anguish riven now receive the precious seed. I'm assuming it has to do with something that's breaking up. It's breaking up that soil, that ground. Let the heart with anguish riven. I mentioned the scripture a few weeks ago. It says, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. The Lord permits brokenness for our good, for our blessing, that the heart is riven, that we can receive the seed. You know, when we're young, we grow up, it's just like we're in our 20s. It's just like we think we know what we want. And we're headed out. We're full of strength. We're full of energy. We're full of ideas. We're full of ourselves. And that's the problem. We're full of us. These heart conditions, the hardness and the weeds choking the seed and all these things, it's the condition of our heart that keeps us from being able to see and know God and have His help and His blessing in our life. There's another verse in Corinthians, and I didn't write this down, but it mentioned, it talked about the Jews, the Jewish people, and it said there was a veil on their heart. Jesus came to them. He taught them. He gave His life for them. But you know, most of them didn't receive what He had to offer. And that scripture goes on to say that the veil was on the heart. The veil that kept them from seeing who Christ was on the heart. Have you ever looked, needed to find something? There's been times in my life that I use a pencil a lot in carpentry measuring, and there's been times I've looked and looked and looked for my pencil. Couldn't find it. Looked all over the place. And it was right here on my ear. There's been times I looked for my keys and other things. Looked all over the place, turning things, and boom, all of a sudden, there they are. Right there, where I laid them. The condition of our heart keeps us, it's not that it's not there. It is there. But sometimes the condition of our heart, the affections, where our affections are at, keep us from seeing spiritual things. Spiritual truths that God wants to teach us and to show us. It's right there at our, in one place He said, it's not way up in the heavens, it's not a way far away. It's nigh thee. Even in thy words and thy mouth, the word of faith, it's nigh you. It's nigh us. And that scripture in Corinthians goes on to say that when it means when they shall turn to the Lord, the veil will be lifted off of their heart. And they'll be able to see spiritual things. But I believe today the Lord is, He works in life. He worked in my life. He's working in my life. And He still has a lot to do in my life. But He's working. He wants to work. Oh, I was praying yesterday. I said, Lord, help me to get a hold of the lesson. I know You want to show me something here. Help me to get a hold of it. But sometimes we're so busy. Sometimes we've got all these cares. And sometimes there's hardness. that the Lord just wants us to come to Him and give it all to Him and lay it out before Him. And He'll help us. He'll help us with it. There's a verse also I read that said, Paul planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. The planter wasn't nothing. The water wasn't nothing. God used them, but it was God that gave the increase. When things have water and the soil is a garden, it's amazing and wonderful the things that a beautiful garden can produce. I admire beautiful plants, beautiful flowers, beautiful gardens, beautiful fruit. I love fruit. Wonderful to be able to partake. But there are things that have to happen for that to work out. There are ingredients that have to be in place for it to be so. And that's the way in our life. Lord, help us to... I want to get that scripture. I believe it's in... The woman that was at the well, I'd like to close with it, in John the 4th chapter. And Jesus mentions, verse 9, He says, Then saith the woman, well, let me read verse 6. Now Jacob's well was there, Jesus therefore being wearied with His journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. Sixth hour would be noontime, 12 o'clock. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For His disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto Him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. There was a boundary, a racial boundary that was set up. And the Jews didn't deal with the Samaritans. They didn't deal with the Samaritans. Except Jesus. Jesus went beyond the norm. And He asked this woman for a drink. And Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of Him, and He would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto Him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. And Jesus saith unto her, Go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands. And he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, and that saidst thou truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. This woman, Jesus was bringing attention, I think. He knew her life. This woman was thirsty in her soul, in her spirit. Many times that's why people do the things they do. They're trying to quench something inside of them, a thirst. And the enemy brings up different things. Oh, if you just had this, or you just had that, or if this was this way. But it's down in the heart of man. It's down in the spirit, our inner being. And Jesus can quench that thirst for us. He can make life worth living. He can turn darkness into day. He can give us hope where there is no hope. This woman didn't have much hope. And Jesus was offering to her living water. Everything in our world needs water. It needs moisture to live. We need water, but we need more importantly the spiritual water, that the Lord can water and rain down into our hearts when we open our hearts up to Him. He can reign inside of us, and He can give us the water of life. I just appreciate these illustrations that Jesus left us and gave to us to help us to be able to recognize our need and bless us with His life. Thank you for your attention this morning. Pray for me.